We're ready, and let's begin.
First of all, I just want to say that my name is Dr. Julian Lange, licensed acupuncturist and doctor of oriental medicine in practice for going on 26 years. And I just need to introduce a note from the Food and Drug Administration, or relevant to the Food and Drug Administration, which is to say that the information contained in this webinar or telephone conference has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The information is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease. All material provided is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and before undertaking any diet, exercise, or other health program, including ours. So that's just to put you all on notice that the first thing you need to do is exercise self-responsibility. Having said all of that, let me introduce Susan, my wife.
Hello, I'm Dr. Susan Langer, and I've been in practice similar amount of time to Julian, and we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this class on part two of Ancient Chinese Medicine Secrets for a Healthy Digestion. And again, we know how busy you are, and thank you for taking the time to be here. And also a big thank you to Rufina James for hosting this teleclass. If it wasn't for her, this amazing technology would not be happening. So thank you, Rufina.
Well, thank you.
And I just also wanted to say that Susan is also a licensed acupuncturist and doctor of oriental medicine, in addition to many other specialties she has mastered.
Quite a few. Very, very well.
Thank you. Well, tonight we're going to be reviewing a little bit of what we covered last week, and then we're going to be going into some advanced technology or techniques that aren't often discussed in a regular doctor's office. And when people come to us and they've been tearing their hair and they've been trying things over again, and then we explain some other levels, they go, oh, of course, this makes so much sense. So we hope that that's what you're going to be saying by the end of this call. So, Julian.
Yeah, I was thinking that a good thing to review is the question of what is health? How do we know how healthy we are, and where does the health come from? I'd say that the basic defining feature of a healthy person is the resilience to be able to withstand challenges from their environment. So that's from the physical environment, from the dietary environment, from their emotional environment, and from their chemical environment. So basically the world we occupy at a physical level and at an emotional or spiritual level. The basic definition of health is the capacity or the ability to regulate for challenges. So a basic concept of health is the ability to have the resilience to take challenges from your environment in stride. And just in case it didn't come through, the environment includes not just our physical environment, climate, but it also includes our emotional and spiritual environment. So the example I was sort of talking about was that we don't get enough sleep one night, we are hurried in the morning so we don't get the kind of meal that we normally would, so our blood sugar is a little low, and we step out into the world and it's, you know, a blustery, rainy, cold day, and, you know, perhaps we're using public transport, we have to wait for a bus outside. What does that do to us? How does our body handle that challenge? If we're healthy, we have the capacity, we have the reserve, the sort of reserve of health to be able to proceed through the day, and we may not feel up to par, but we're able to get through everything. We don't become ill. We don't develop a headache. We don't develop muscle ache. We don't have stiff and achy joints. While someone whose health is not as strong, then they'd be affected even just by the lack of sleep. If they didn't get enough sleep, their mind wouldn't work very well. They wouldn't be able to concentrate as well and remember things as well. So a healthy person is able to regulate for all sorts of stimulus from the environment, and to be able to do that for quite a long period of time, like maybe a week or a month. You know, we all know some people who seem to be kind of indestructible, and other people who are like a feather in the wind, affected by everything which comes their way. And then the other thing I want to say is that from a Chinese medical perspective, there are basically two sources of health that we have. One source is our constitutional health, and that is determined by the health of our parents at the time we're conceived and the kind of environment we experience as a developing fetus within our mother, in our mother's uterus. What is the environment that our mother is occupying, and that can influence our constitutional health. And that constitutional health determines the development of our body as we grow and mature to adulthood, and the quality of our body, the sort of basic constitutional vitality we have as we mature through adulthood. If our constitution is weak, then we may have developmental challenges. And the other thing is that in adulthood or in childhood or in adolescence, then these things arise, frequent illnesses, unusual illnesses, slow to recover from illnesses, or slow to recover from any kind of physical trauma. Say we break an arm, there are complications, things like that. The second source of health is post-birth. The Chinese talk about prenatal source of health and a postnatal source of health. And that postnatal, post-birth source is our digestive system. And this is one of the reasons Susan and I decided to do these talks on the internet and the phone, because the digestive system is so important. It is what supplements our constitutional health. If we were just living on our constitutional health, we wouldn't survive very long in terms of longevity. But through eating and consuming food and drinking liquids, we're supplementing that constitutional health in a way with this postnatal source of health. And therefore, the digestive tract, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, pancreas, our liver, are vitally important in providing us with the nutritional or the nutrition that results in what the Chinese say healthy energy or qi and healthy blood. And if we have a good digestive system, then we're able to build and create this energy and blood, which is the thing that is our fuel in a sense and provides the energy for us to go through a day and our life's activities. I said that all rather quickly, but if you have any questions, just shoot me an email and I'll get back to you. Susan.
Great. Thank you, Julian. And that's also another way that health is seen, and I'm sure a lot of you will understand this. And I think as a little mini example, my sister had a couple of her children at home, two children at home, are so healthy. They look robust. They are very connected to their bodies. They didn't have any anesthetic. They didn't have vaccinations. They were brought up on very wholesome organic food. And the way they interact in the world is very different from most of us who were born in hospitals with lots of interventions and anesthesia and all kinds of other toxic things happening. And it really is very refreshing to see these children and to know that it is possible to have healthy children and healthy digestions. So those of you who are on the website, if you go and if you look at the five elements chart, we alluded to that.
Susan,
last time.
Can we please tell them where the page is first? If you are on the event page, just click, if you go to the bottom right, there's a link for digestive health photos. Digestive health photos. Click on that link. A new window will open, and it'll say photos for class 2, Ancient Chinese Medicine Secrets to Healthy Digestion. Now, if you're on the call, I will give you that URL. It's www.meridianholistic.com/digestivehealthphotos2.html. It's kind of long, but I'll spell it out. www.meridianholistic.com MeridianHolistic.com. That's MeridianHolistic.com. Then the / Digestive Health Photos 2, and that is spelled DigestiveHealthPhotos2.html. Hope you got all that. MeridianHolistic.com, Digestive Health Photos 2.html. And which photo were you talking about, Susan?
The first one that you put up, which mm-hmm. is the five elements picture.
Right.
And Rufina, if somebody's just listening to this on the telephone later on, you're doing a replay, they would use that same site.
Yes, okay? Yes. That the pictures will just stay here.
It will be there permanently. Fantastic, fantastic. Because I know there are a lot of people who can't do tonight who wanted to follow up. And I'm just going to the five elements because Julian explained some of the five element patterns in the last call.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is up for you to get a visual sense of it. And again, going back to what is health, when there's health, there's a nice flow. And if you're looking at and I'll explain to the people who can't see it, you're seeing a red ball, and then it goes, there's a circle, a flow. A red ball flows to a yellow ball, to a white ball, to a blue ball, to a green ball. And in Chinese medicine, that's a beautiful, very poetic diagram that symbolizes the organs of the body. And when you're healthy, that is flowing. Everything flows, your emotions flow, your blood flows. Different organs control different emotions and different parts of the body. And when you're sick, that all gets disruptive. And when it's disruptive, for example, the green ball, those of you who are looking at the picture, the green ball then gets over-controlling. It's the liver and the gallbladder in Chinese medicine. And it starts to control the stomach and the spleen and the pancreas. And people might have a lot of digestive problems because of that. And then the poor old spleen and pancreas gets weaker and weaker, and that causes more weakness in the kidney energy and the adrenals. So in Chinese medicine, if you're not digesting well, then it is definitely going to, there'll be a backlash on your adrenals. So that's just a little simple view of the difference in Chinese medicine between health and disease. Do you have anything?
Yeah, and the five elements picture that we provided for you actually has got a lot of information in it, way more information than is necessary for this. But if you look at it, those of you that are interested, you'll see all sorts of other things that'll be interesting. So take the time to, take a close look at this chart.
And that might be the topic of another class, because it is very, very helpful to understand all the balances between the organs, the interactions. But for this call, we just wanted to give you a little overview in terms of what is health and what is disease.
Yep. So should we talk about the yin-yang question?
Yes, let's do that, because that comes from the five-element chart.
All right.
So those of you who are online, we're going to invite you to, Rufina, actually, you may want to coach them. It's on a different URL?
It's on a different URL, but if you are on the website, the web event link down on the lower right, you would click on the second link, which is Yin-Yang Quiz.
Right.
Yin-Yang Quiz, and that will open up to the page. The page is meridianholistic.com/quiz1.html. So I'll spell that out for you. www.meridianholistic.com/quiz1.html. There are no capitals in anything. Just meridianholistic.com/quiz1.html.
Okay. So, Susan, why don't we just go through this and read some of them out, because I know that a number of the listeners aren't going to be looking at it, and this is a way to include them. While the ones that are able to look at it, they can review it and get an idea of what is yin and what is yang.
Okay. And basically, the reason we put this up is for you to get a general sense of if you're more yin and more yang, and we'll let you do that quiz later.
Mm-hmm.
The main points that we want you to look at for the purposes of this class are, do you have a good, strong digestion, A, or difficulty, that's B, and all the A's are yang, and all the B answers are yin. I'm actually giving it away here just for the purposes of, you know, brevity. And we want you to check and see, are you more dry or are you more damp? Are you
I was going to ask you about that. What does that mean when you say, are you more dry or are you more damp?
Ah, a great question. How would you describe that, Julian? wait, I'll just review. We want to know if you're more dry or more damp in your tendencies, or are you have a tendency to being more hot or more cold.
Now, when you say dry and damp, are you talking about like dry skin or someone who sweats a lot, or are you talking about feeling dry versus, well, I mean, there could be the dry skin versus oily skin, or the just kind of not sweating much and sweating a lot, dry damp. Is that, which one do you mean, or is there something else here?
All of that.
How much you perspire if you do have moisture skin and you prone to perspire, even though it isn't that hot or you haven't been exerting yourself, you are going to be in a yin condition probably. And the other side of it is if you have, that would be damp, that's right, or if you have more mucus, don't have much of a desire for drink, water, or if you tend to have a dry mouth and need to drink a lot of water, then that would also be the question. So if you're dry mouthed and drink a lot of water, you're probably more yang. And
more
if
dry.
If you tend to have a dry, mucus in your mouth and not need much water, you're probably more yin. Would you agree with that, Susan?
Correct. And also, I'm in the process of editing a book that I wrote for women where we spell out all this. It's a book on menopause and how to analyze how you are and therefore you choose the right herbs for going through menopause. And we've adapted this to be more general. And once you understand, you know, are you more damp and your shape will be more damp, you'll be a little bit more swollen, tendency to more bloating, maybe more weight.
Yeah, question 14, are your muscles more firm and tight or soft or flabby?
Correct. So the firm and tight, you'd be more dry, and the soft and flabby, you would be more?
Damp.
Damp, that's correct. And the reason for these questions is because once you've determined if you're more dry and more hot or more damp and more cold, and we can have a whole mixture of this, which is why we do recommend if you are complicated or have any concerns that you do find a really excellent qualified health practitioner to go over this with you. We're giving you just a taste as to, you know what kind of questions to ask. But once you know this, then it can give you some clues as to what kind of foods are going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Right, Julian?
That's right. And, you know, this is just to give you a basic sort of way of analyzing yourself or understanding yourself in terms of foods that are either more hot or cold or drying or damper foods. The Chinese talk about dampness as dampness is liquidy and slow to respond and tends to pool and accumulate. So here's a really good example of a cold, damp food, which is a yin food, ice cream.
Everybody loves their ice cream.
Everybody loves their ice cream.
In America.
But you know, the thing about ice cream is it's you know, the dairy, if it's cow milk ice cream, is commonly challenging to digest in and of itself. It's cold, and the digestive system in Chinese medical thinking relies on heat to run it. So the cold diminishes the heat in the digestive system. And the Chinese say that dairy, when it's eaten, turns into dampness. So basically, you're eating one of the most damp, damaging foods for the digestive tract when you consume ice cream.
And the same I would say, Julian, for Americans love ice.
Yeah,
in
ice.
Everything, it seems. You do even, yes, and you know better. And ice puts out, you need some fire, a little bit of fire in your stomach to digest. So if you tend to be more cold, then we would recommend that you avoid cold, damp foods for a while. You avoid too many salads, too many raw, cold foods. If you love salads and have to have them like in the summer, What you do is you let it be room temperature. You don't take it straight out of the refrigerator. When I was so sick way back, I was told to avoid cold foods for a year. And I thought I loved salads because I'd done so much research on diet, and I was living on all kinds of raw salads in the cold winter of England. Totally the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, but last time that we did one of these conference calls, we talked about the importance of chewing. So if you do want to eat salad, and salad and raw vegetables are good to eat because they can contain the plant enzymes which our body utilizes for the digestive process. So we don't want to stop eating raw food because we need those enzymes, especially if your digestive system is compromised. So what you have to do is you just have to chew your food thoroughly and ideally make sure that you're eating room temperature as opposed to straight out of the fridge or a cooler. Another thing you can do, and this gets a little tricky because you have to be, you can't overcook, but if you want to, say, put a carrot in the salad, you want to steam them, but not so that they're real soft. They want to be al dente, you know, have some bite, have a little bit of snap left in them. That way you'll be preserving some amount of the digestive enzyme. Another way to do it is to drink vegetable juice. But in that case, the juice has to be made by a juicer that doesn't overheat the vegetable in the juicing of it, because if it gets overheated, then those enzymes are destroyed. So raw foods are important, but the chewing of them are important, or is important. And Chinese medicine does emphasize that a meal should be eaten slowly and with awareness, with presence of mind, not gobbled through. So, you know, chewing your food slowly, kind of doing it as a meditation, is going to allow you to...
Always remembering that raw foods, for the people who are really damp, in moderation.
Yes.
And some people will go and do a lot of fasting and juices, and the ones that do the best with that are the ones who are very yang, the ones
that's
who have
right.
complexions, a lot of heat in their system, and they need that to balance them out.
A lot of vitality.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what, the other reason we talk about this, you know, are you more hot or cold or dry or damp or yin or yang, is because in Chinese medicine, they use foods as diet, foods and diet as medicine, and also the way the herbs are prepared. This is not a Western herbal concept. It's purely Oriental and Middle Eastern. So if you're very hot, then you might be given, or you have a hot condition, like, for example, high blood pressure, we might call it, or a tendency to migraines, or a stomach ulcer due to fire. We would prepare herbs that would be balancing and a little more cooling to bring you into moderation. And so often in the West, they don't take these temperatures and flavors into account. So we would use a flavor, for example, if somebody's very damp, we might use a flavor that's called pungent. And that is more drying and can help dry the mucus, for example. So this is what's very important when you're looking for herbs that you might be taking long-term, like laxatives, for example, which are, you know, quite harsh and can be irritating. We want formulas that are going to help bring you into balance and not throw you off. And that's pretty hard to find in Western herbal medicine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're going to let you complete that yin-yang quiz yourself. Just touching on this, we're going to go back to the main page again, the main website, which Rufina described earlier, and it's meridianholistic.com/digestivehealthphotos2.html. And if we go to that, we just want to dispel a couple of myths. I'm just finding it on, excuse my time.
Is this about the parasite tests?
Yes, we just wanted to go back a little more depth with these digestive myths. Because we talked last week about I can't treat you unless I have a diagnosis. That's the Western viewpoint. Irritable bowel syndrome, often we've had lots of patients come in and say, oh, you have irritable bowel syndrome. It's just due to stress. There's nothing wrong with you. And here, if you go to this, and we'll describe it for the listeners who can't see it, we've got an example of a diagnostic report, which was a patient of ours from, gosh, this is probably many years ago, but it was such a drastic one. It's a great one, and he was, I'll read it out, he was in Sri Lanka and Syria and Kenya, Cambodia, Thailand, Mongolia, North Korea, India, Nepal, Bhutan, and Thailand.
He worked for a non-governmental human resources organization.
Yeah, so he traveled a lot. He had all kinds of symptoms that were very clearly due to bugs. And he had a history of Giardia and amoebic dysentery. And yet when he went to one of the best labs, you know, in the country, the one we were talking about last time, with Dr. Amin, they didn't find anything wrong with him. And they sent us back this letter, which I had never seen before. And I know, Rufina, you were alluding to this last class about, you know, needing more examinations. And here it actually says, you know, that quite a few of the patients needed 4 to 9 examinations before any parasites were detected.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of this paragraph, it says, our results suggest that a single stool specimen examination will miss many pathogenic protozoan infections in symptomatic persons. And that means that is just an example that, you know, bugs can be missed, fungus, candida, whatever can be missed. Don't give up. If a doctor says there's nothing wrong with you, you're fine. It's all in your head. Just know that, yes, it could be in your head, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it could also be in your body, too. And we'll be talking about that later with this famous goo syndrome.
And, I think that getting back to a person who has been told they have irritable bowel syndrome and that basically, you know, they're overly sensitive or an emotional condition, there is a good possibility that, you know, that person has a parasitic infection or a bacterial imbalance with non-beneficial organisms of some kind that would predispose them to the syndrome known as irritable bowel. So I think one of the points you're trying to make is that even though the doctor says there's nothing wrong with your intestine, and even if the doctor has done one stool culture to see if there are any organisms, that one isn't conclusive. 4 to 9 begins to be conclusive, but even that isn't necessarily conclusive. And I think that, you know, in many ways, people can just operate on the assumption, since the Center for Disease Control has issued a statement that the majority of Americans have got parasites, that you do.
And parasites to us, remember what it is to us? We include in parasites viruses, fungus, bacteria, you know, as well as protozoans and, you know, roundworms,
nematodes,
and all the regular ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Julian, the idea that most Americans have parasites is one that most gastrointestinal doctors in this country do not embrace.
Yeah, it's odd. Control says the opposite.
Right. And
yet I know that they're beginning to more and more. You know, we're hearing of more Western medical doctors who are starting to introduce stool cultures. So at least they're beginning.
They're beginning. Yeah. It's just most of them are really set in their ways. And I want to also say that you can even have colonoscopies and come out with them with no diagnosis. The first colonoscopy I had, the doctor just insisted on giving me the diagnosis of irritable bowel because, you know, technically I didn't have the symptoms of irritable bowel, but he didn't know what else it could be. Therefore, he insisted it had to be irritable bowel. Well, the next colonoscopy I had...
Yeah, a blanket. Yeah.
Right, it was a blanket statement, and so he just pushed me into that statement, and that's what he put on the records, because he had to put something, or he'd look like an idiot, so he had to put something there. And then...
And the bottom line is, when you're suffering, and ultimately, it doesn't matter what they find. If they find something going on, then they're going to want to give you, you know, some pretty heavy antibiotics to treat.
They give you more than antibiotics. They give you a lot of stuff. But I wanted to say that I went to 4 gastrointestinal specialists and I got 4 different diagnoses.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very common.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And so which one was it? You know, I don't think it was necessarily either one of them or any of those.
And here's our myth, another of our myths busting, is that you can go to all these different doctors and you can get a lot of tests. And, you know, in order to, we should recommend, we do recommend, you know, often that you go see your Western doc and get, you know, kind of protect yourself and go through those tests. And when you come out the other end and you're still feeling sick, that's when we usually get people. And we'd like to get them before they ever need to go to a doctor. We'd like to get you thinking about your health and getting ideas that you can do to help yourself. And if we go on a little further, there are some acupuncture points on the same website, URL, that help keep the digestion, the stomach, and the colon just toned. It's pretty self-explanatory here. It'll show you the points that you can rub. Julian, if you want to describe where stomach 25 is, that's not actually on the picture, isn't
that on? Yeah, it's described. It's just no picture. Yeah, stomach 25 is about two
that's
inches.
That's right, it is. I'm looking, yes.
It's in two spots on either side of the navel, about 2 inches to either side. And if you're going to massage stomach 25, that point on the abdomen, or stomach 37, which is on the lower leg just below the knee, and I think it gives a adequate description of how to find that. You basically, you know, use your fingertip and sort of push in until you get this sort of achy spot, and then rotate in a clockwise direction, as if the face of the clock were on your skin. And just sort of rotate your finger on the skin with that sort of achy discomfort for about a minute on each spot. So there'd be one on each shin and two on the abdomen for about a minute on each spot every day. And that'd be a way to give your digestive tract, your colon, and the whole digestive system sort of a little treatment.
Great. So what else? What would you like to cover next, Julian?
Oh, okay. Let's see. There was something, did you cover that concept of goo?
That is where we're moving to. I touched on it, and you're going to describe
this
is syndrome, which is an advanced concept in Chinese medicine.
Yeah, and so goo is, as Susan said, it's an advanced concept within Chinese medicine, and we bring it up just so that there's sort of like another way of perceiving the effect that digestive system can have on our total well-being. And the Chinese say that, you know, if we have a parasite, we've got this creature inside of us, and this goo syndrome is kind of a way of understanding irrational behavior, where it's kind of like as if the person has got a spirit living within their body that is expressing itself through that person. And it's one of the ways they would, one of the treating goo or treating parasites would be an approach they might take when they're dealing with somebody who has got some degree of what we might describe as mental illness. So what we've seen in our practice is that when we've treated people for parasites and it's been successful and they've benefited at a physical level, they've also become more centered, more clear about themselves within their world and within their family culture and culture of friends. And they begin spontaneously to identify relationships which are not beneficial to them. For, you know, say like a friendship where the person is always sort of giving to the other person in that relationship. They're always sort of making themselves available, giving them their resources, and kind of being used by the other party. So it's kind of what they, I mean, patients have said this without me bringing it up, that they notice they have a what they call a parasitic relationship. And they've become aware of it, and they begin to sort of like establish boundaries with these relationships, with these people in their lives, and say, no, I'm not going to let you use my car today because I need it. And next, last time you used it, you didn't put any gas in the tank. And, you know, that doesn't feel right to me. So I will let you use my car again, but you have to start putting gas in the tank. And, you know, some of the people that we've treated or that I've experienced, they've actually kind of reduced some of the people, their friendships, out of their lives because they recognized that these relationships were parasitic. And the goo concept is even bigger, though, because it can be kind of, you know, abnormal behavior. And I've certainly seen that in people, particularly children, you know, preteens that become very difficult to manage. They've got tempers, they contradict, they express themselves by shouting at their parents or their siblings, getting into fights with other children. When those children are treated successfully and parasites are eliminated, they calm down and become more good-natured. So yeah, that pretty much explains that. And as Susan said, it is an advanced kind of concept.
And here we have, if you go to the website, it looks a little cute, like that original cartoon we had in the previous class, Is This Stool Taken? We've got a couple of little bugs here in a cooking pot. It's actually worms in a cooking pot is the description.
The Chinese regard the digestive system, the image they have for it is a pot cooking on a stove, breaking down the food into its nutritional components.
Yes, so here are the worms in the digestion, and the hexagram in Chinese medicine, I think it's hexagram 19, means disintegration, rotten, kind of putrid energy. And when you don't have that healthy flow, and those of you looking online at the website might want to go back to the five elements chart, and you'll see that the circular flow of the five elements, everything flows. When everything's flowing, the worms flow with you. They can't get stuck in you. It's exactly what the homeopath Hahnemann was talking about. We mentioned it last week. When the flow is weak or stagnant, this is when the bugs get inside and fester. And we talk about that, the digestive tract, as your inner boundary. When that is strong, the bugs can't get in. When that doesn't have holes, it's just permeable when you need it, semi-permeable, and nothing else can get in. It's the same in your outer life and in your boundaries, your outer boundaries. So we've got the inner boundary of your intestinal tract, and you've got your outer boundary, your aura or your energy field, whatever you like to call it. When there's holes in your intestines, there's holes in your outer boundaries, just as Julian was saying, and people can be parasitic or suck you dry. Ever had that sense of being sucked dry? Now imagine if your boundaries were really strong. People can be around you, they cannot suck you dry because your inner boundaries are strong, and I'm willing to bet your digestion is good and strong, and your outer boundaries are strong. And this is the concept of the esoteric version of the goo syndrome, where instead of having parasitic relationships, you have what we call symbiotic relationships, where it's mutual. It becomes a win-win, and you're mutually supporting each other. And that, again, is what true health is.
Exactly.
Okay, and I'm looking at the time, and Julian, I'm just wondering if we should just, you know, tell a few stories. People are probably wondering, you know, how do we move from having goo syndrome? I bet quite a few of you might think that you have goo syndrome. I know I certainly had goo syndrome big time when I was younger and sicker. And we've had people that have gone through some, you know, miraculous healings and changes and, you know, well back on the way to health. So
yeah.
Any stories you want to tell, Julian?
Well, one of the things that amazed me is I brought it up in our last teleseminar, and that was the toenail fungus. Because the treatment for that, the conventional pharmaceutical treatment for toenail fungus, involves a medication that is so difficult for the liver that you have to have, if you're using it, have blood tests taken, I believe it's every 2 weeks, to check the liver enzymes to make sure that the liver isn't being damaged by the medication. So when you're taking that, when you're taking that for a toenail fungus, you're taking something that is so toxic that it can actually cause significant damage to one of the most important organs. And then on top of it all, most doctors, you know, that have had some experience of it will advise against its use because it doesn't seem to work very well. And I've treated toenail fungus with acupuncture before without any results, and I have to say that I've been amazed on a few cases that spontaneously the toenail fungus cleared up while they were taking the herbs that we use for dysbiosis.
And for healing the digestion.
And for healing the digestive system. So that is one thing that I think is just astounding. It doesn't work every time, at least in my experience, but, you know, it works often enough that if somebody says to me they have toenail fungus and they're looking for a way to treat it, I definitely encourage them to use this program.
So we've had people who have had very bad asthma, and as their digestion heals, it's the same mucous membrane that is between from the gut to the lungs. Asthma seems to have disappeared. Just all kinds of interesting ailments that have been very difficult to treat until the digestive tract started to heal. And Julian, what about the herbs? Because I'm looking at the time and I'm just aware.
Yeah.
How do you use the herbs?
Oh, the herbs. Basically, we've got a two-prong approach. And the first prong is to reestablish bowel tone in a large intestine that has lost the tone in the muscles, so that the peristalsis that I discussed in the prior teleseminar is reestablished, so the person has got at least one well-formed bowel movement a day, ideally more than that, and ideally after every meal. Assuming there are three meals a day, then three bowel movements a day. This does two things. It keeps the material in the colon moving, preventing it from accumulating on the inside in a fold of the organ where it can sit for a long period of time and irritate the mucosal tissue, which leads to a breakdown of that tissue, which leads to the cell margins being too wide so that the colon starts to allow incompletely broken down food molecules to pass through and place a toxic burden on the other organs of the body, especially the liver, and all kinds of symptoms beyond just the digestive tract. And it also, this particular herbal formula, it acts as a drainage so that when we introduce the second prong, which is a herbal formula that kills off the non-beneficial organisms, that's yeast, fungus, bacterial parasites, or worms, organisms. As that formula works within the bowel, we do not want the remains of those organisms to accumulate in the bowel, because that can create another syndrome, which is called die-off syndrome in alternative medicine, which can have all sorts of consequences. So you need to take the first formula, which keeps the material moving through and out of the bowel so that these carcasses from the killed-off non-beneficial organisms don't accumulate and cause this die-off problem. So the two prongs are, one I call a drainage formula, and the other one is actually a killer formula. It goes in and kills off the non-beneficial organisms and doesn't do any damage to the beneficial organism. The stuff we would take bifidus to build up that symbiotic bacteria that grooms the mucus membrane on the inside of the colon and small intestine, and that's the most amazing thing, is that the formula is selective. It doesn't damage the beneficial. It only damages the non-beneficial. And then the third thing that we do later on is that we introduce beneficial organisms in the form of lactobacillus supplementation, bifida supplementation, to build up the colony of beneficial organisms and contribute to a restoration of the bowel and restored appropriate permeability.
Great. Thank you, Julian, for explaining that.
Sure.
These herbs that I would like to add are, the reason we use them, we've been using them for, over 12 years now, is because they are not experimental. They've been used for hundreds of years. One of them, which is the one that works specifically with the bugs, has been used for over 1,200 years. There's a little article I received yesterday from the herbalist whose lineage these herbs come from, and he talks about the difference between these herbs and regular herbs you find in any old health food store. And he and his family watch over these herbs. They check the growers. They pick only when the energy is really strong. They discard anything that is looking the slightest bit old. And they bless the herbs and send them out to the world to whoever they can help. And there is a smell and a potency. We call it like a potency of vitality to the herbs that help to wake up the digestion. And again, the reason we are so committed to working with the digestion and we're not making, I just want you to remind you, we are not making any claims here about curing. All we're concerned about is that first step, the foundation to health, get your digestion back on track.
Yeah.
Pat Hahnemann, Julian often quotes this. Do you remember, Julian, about the fact that hygiene is the basic step to health, and hygiene is having a healthy intestine, healthy digestive tract. So that's
right.
What we always recommend first when people start coming to see us, to get their digestion back on track.
Yeah, we're interested in restoring health. We don't really treat disease.
That's correct. We don't really, in our practice, we do not spend a lot of time with symptoms, because we know that when your digestion is good and when the trauma in your nervous system is healing, all kinds of wonderful things start to happen. And by the way, trauma, we did say that we would talk about it today, but there's been so much else to talk about. We will discuss that in another workshop, probably next month, same time next month. And we'll go into that in more detail for those of you who have done all these things that we're recommending and still have digestive concerns.
Are there any questions? Did anyone have any questions they wanted us to look at?
I'm going to check.
Yeah, I know there was a question somebody had last.
I can read last week's questions to you. One is, if one is growing allergic to various foods, does that point to fecal matter growing in its toxicity in your gut?
Did we answer that?
Not on the call, no.
Not on the call, we spoke.
So the question is, if somebody's increasingly allergic to things?
To foods, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
So I would rephrase the sentence and not use the word allergic. I would use the word sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is probably the case. If a person has got increasing sensitivity to foods they eat, that probably means that there is an advancing degree of toxicity in their digestive system or in their body. The other thing is that with the importance of rotation diets, some people discover, well, I do best on, say, rice. I'm going to eliminate wheat, and they end up eating nothing but rice. That can lead to a sensitivity to rice. So it's always important to rotate through the foods as frequently as you can, the foods that you tolerate and are not sensitive to.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, you got anything to add to that?
Yes, I think this is very important, because allergies is a big deal. There's actually a great book out where even in it, it's called Allergy Free by the Burton Goldberg Group. And they go into a lot of the Western causes of allergy, which is very, very good. And in Chinese medicine, we are in agreement that in early post-birth, if babies are fed food too early, then that is often where the allergies start. So the gut gets irritated, and it takes at least 6 to 8 months for a baby's gut to mature where they can actually start eating solids. And these days, people start putting babies on solids at 3 months, which is much too soon, and the babies start to get more allergic. So when people come in with allergies, we really focus on getting that gut healthy again. And when the gut gets healthy, the allergies tend to resolve. So very important. And so yet again, another reason we would highly recommend that you consider doing a cleanse once a year, at least, it's just like washing your hands and keeping your bowels clean, keeping that stagnation moving out, stopping anything from blocking. So we want that healthy flow. The way the Chinese diagnose health is through healthy flow.
So, now, Susan, when you talk about a cleanse, are you talking about the herbal cleanse that you mentioned earlier, or are you talking about like doing a master cleanse where you just go on, you just drink a lemon juice with maple syrup? Or what exactly do you mean?
There are all kinds of excellent cleanses, olive oil and apple juice and et cetera, and what Rufina just talked about, the master cleanse. We did have a patient who developed an amazing master cleanse using the maple syrup and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And these same digestive herbs that we're talking about, the ones that are so fresh that are made in the Middle East, we're actually talking about the herbs. They are online. They have different names because we work with different companies to get the best herbs that we can, even though the original herbs you can access from England. You know, those of you that aren't so brave and don't want to get them from England can definitely go on the website and get them from Youth Flow and Awareness. And those of you that want to get the original ones can get them from Resources for Life. It will be on the website.com that are from England. And these are the herbs that are very gentle. They are extremely balanced, so they don't throw you off. They have the blend of the tastes and the flavors, the hot and the cold. So it doesn't matter what body type you are, they're going to support you. And a lot of the cleanses work by irritating the gut. They're very harsh. You might feel better for a while because they are just flushing everything out and you feel empty and clean, but they don't strengthen your body so that you start being able to do the cleanse and self-cleaning. That's what Julian and I ultimately want people to aspire to, where there's a self-regulation in your body where it takes care of itself and you just gently give it a rest, a month or two, a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a question.
Yeah, but we do.
A question is the cleanse difficult to do? And I think you're talking about that now, that some are very harsh and some are not. But
yes,
maybe this one is talking, maybe this question is referring to physically, you know, does it put you in discomfort? Like, for instance, if I take Senna tea, you know, if I brew some Senna tea and drink it, that will cause cramps. In 6 hours or something like that, I will get horrible cramps and I will have to be by a bathroom immediately.
Okay, yes, thank you. Oh, yes, we weren't going to go too much because we didn't want to be seen to, you know, be pushing these products too much, but you're absolutely right. Some are very harsh. The goal is to be so gentle, and if people start getting the slightest cramp, we'll actually back them off and have like a quarter of a capsule or half a capsule, and we'll start with the first product. It's got two different names, Colon Support or Natural Balance in England.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the same source, just one is distributed in America and one from England.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start people very, very gently. And we were working with a company and they added Senna to this particular product that was doing the bowel tone. So we've stopped using it.
Yeah.
Because that is too strong for the body and it doesn't help tone up the muscles. So we start you very, very gently at your pace. It's not extreme. We don't change your diet or make you go through anything too quickly.
I think that's one of the best things, that the diet doesn't have to change. A lot of people, you know, they come and they're burned out on the candida diet or a rotation diet. And, you know, they've done everything, haven't they? Yeah, a lot of our people have done everything. And so it's a great relief to them. And I say, no, you don't need to change your diet. You can continue the way you are, but you don't have to. You can introduce other foods you've been avoiding. And it generally works very well. And, yeah, it is easy to do. It just takes some time, a minimum of 3 months. Some people have to do it longer, 6 months.
I mean, what I would say, Julian, is, you know, there are people that I've seen who've been chronically ill for years or decades, like I was.
Yeah.
It takes at least 12 to 18 months for a healthy gut to actually get back in tone. somebody who thinks they're healthy. So for people like me, you know, that I was so sick, it took me a lot longer. I mean, nowadays, I barely use anything.
Well,
yeah,
Susan,
what I find is that the people that are doing well on it, they want to stay on it. Their intuition is saying, this is working so well, I don't want to stop it yet. And so that works as well. But, you know, we've come to the end of our hour now.
Thank you for asking that question. And we'd be very happy if people do want to hear more. We'd be very happy to put on another talk and answer lots of questions and about that. We probably are going to do like a once a month free question and answer class on the cleanse for people.
Okay.
And also dosage. Somebody asked last week about dosage, and
Correct, very important.
What we help you understand is, are you yang, and what dosage is right for you, as opposed to a generic dose.
Right.
So it seems like we're coming to the end. It always goes by so quick. Rufina, anything else you want us to...
Well, just quickly, you said that for a healthy digestive system, it still takes 12 to 18 months to tone it up. Now, what about an unhealthy digestive system? How long would that take to tone up? I mean, to get to a healthy state.
Imagine you're asking such good questions. If you've had digestive issues your whole life, like a lot of the people that come to see us have, this is where a discussion on trauma and its effects on the digestive tract, and birth trauma in particular, and mother being in trauma when you're in the womb, that's when that comes into play. And gosh, I don't know, Julian, about you, but in Chinese medicine, they've always said that, you know, it takes at least 1 month for every year you've had the condition.
Oh, a chronic condition.
A chronic condition.
It's a rule of thumb, but, you know, people respond in their own pace, and I find that, you know, some people respond very quickly. I think most people do better than 12 to 18 months. You know, I don't think there's that many people that have had to use this program that long at all.
Except the chronic people.
Yeah, and the people that need it longer, they generally ask for it. I don't even have to suggest it because they're feeling good on it. Their body is responding, and they want to keep the ball rolling.
That's right.
But even people, you know, it's really the people that have done laxative abuse and whose systems are really out of whack that, you know, have to use it the longest.
Okay.
So, again, we've got, you know, more depth and more layers we can go into, but we're just touching on things to give you an idea of what's possible, and we're very happy to, you know, give you some coaching. And, Rufina, anything else before we close?
Well, there was that question about acidophilus that got quickly covered last week. I don't know if you want to go into it more.
I actually just touched on it about the dosage for acidophilus. Is that what you were talking about?
Right.
Is it that everyone is different?
Well, the dosage, I would say, is what I said last week. Take as much of it as you can afford. You know, I'd say that a good dose, you know, is if you're taking it by capsule and it's got a high count of bacteria per gram, you take it after every meal. So typically that's three times a day, and you take about 2 to 3 capsules at the end of every meal. It means you're going to be going through the bottles quickly, and I know it isn't an inexpensive product. So that's why I say take as much of it as you can afford and plan on taking it for a while, you know, more than 3 months.
Okay.
And Julian, remember, we used to recommend, this was back in like the 1980s, early 1990s, we recommended all kinds of acidophilus for people.
Yeah, because it was really the only thing we had at that time to combat this stuff. Yeah.
And now we don't even carry it in our clinic because once people have done the cleanse and used the herbs to just reduce the bad bugs, it doesn't require nearly so much, whether
that's
it's acidophilus, lactobacillus, whatever the latest ones are. You don't need so much. So I highly recommend that you do the cleanse first and then you consider the acidophilus, as opposed to the other way around. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, that's the third prong, and I tell people to start using it later on in our program.
Yeah.
And supplements we recommend people use later on when they can digest better, and then you don't need so many.
Yeah.
Right. So it all becomes a lot more cost-effective when you get your basic cleanse done first, mm-hmm. instead of just using the supplements, which are more Band-Aid.
Yeah, because they're harder to digest with a compromised digestive system. And, you know, to a certain extent, you're kind of wasting your money, because how much of that supplement are you actually able to absorb?
Yes, exactly.
Through, you know, in a pill form or a mm-hmm. capsule form.
Mm-hmm.
So we like
and
them in liquid
form. And when you can digest, you don't need it so much.
Yeah, because you're going to be getting more nutrients from the food you're eating.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Athena, for moderating this, as
well,
always.
Sure. Thank you, Susan and Julian.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, and goodbye.